you don't want to leave you back for the second time. We are tired. We are beggars in our own country.
Mm-hmm. That is what a civil servant in Nigeria thinks about the country's current leadership.
And we can see the emotions in her voice. But supporters of President Bola Tinubu say his achievements earned him the right to a second term.
You know, they argue that the current administration has put Africa's biggest economy, I should say, back on track.
Not just that. They also say that the critics are out of touch with the reality and unwilling to give credit where it's due.
I told you about the increase of salaries, the minimum wage. It is affecting the common man, not ghosts or spirits. There would always be people in the street complaining. There are people in the street of New York complaining, people in Jabor complaining, people in London, in Paris, anywhere in the world.
Today, under the Baobab, we'll be asking questions such as, is Tinubu's re-election rooted in real achievement?
And more importantly, how much have Nigerians truly benefited from this administration? My name is George Okachi.
And my name is Mimi Mefonewu. On this show, we make complex issues personal.
And today we are joined by Dr. Daniel Bwala, spokesperson for Nigerian President Bola Tinubu.
And that only tells you that we are going to Nigeria this time around. President Bola Tinubu has been in office for 2 years. While his administration is boasting of economic turnaround, ordinary Nigerians are saying otherwise. They say that they are grappling with inflation, insecurity, and weakening naira.
Mimi, on paper,
The
GDP is...
It's high up there.
You know, we have a minister in Uganda who says the economy is going up. And that is the same case in Nigeria. But on the streets of Lagos and Abuja, the pain is real, man.
It's something different. So the question is, what's behind this disconnect? We don't understand why the government will say things are well, but the ordinary citizens are saying, oh, we are not having fun. All is not well in Nigeria. Are the headlines telling a different story? I mean, what we are saying on the media different? That is what I was asking Dr. Bwala. He is spokesperson for the Nigerian president, Bola Tinubu. And this is what he had to tell us.
As a political party, we have our internal mechanism for assessing ourselves every now and then. So the midterm assessment was basically to assess the president generally with respect to our own party manifesto and the promises we made to the Nigerian people, and to what the president has achieved so far. So perfectly in order, and also not too early, because the only time you can do that is 2 years before the presidential election of the next term. Otherwise, it would have been too late for you, assuming that you conduct that in 2026 ending, and then you find out that his performance is not as expected. When then do you begin to bring another fresh candidate?
This kind of early endorsement for President Bola Tinubu, can you say that it's because he's been performing well, or is it just to consolidate power very early for him?
No, it's a procedure or a process with our party that there will be midterm assessment. So it's not President Bola, whoever is the president at the time. After every midterm, we will assess and see whether the person has performed to a point where we would entrust the person, you know, to continue. And we have measured that he has performed wonderfully well. And so we're absolutely confident ahead of the 2027 that we have the support of our people.
So when you're talking about performing very well, I want to understand exactly in what areas. Can you give us 3 top achievements that have been met by President Bola Tinubu's government that has impacted Nigerians directly?
Deepening democracy is one, which is the introduction of local government autonomy. Autonomy that gives the local government chairman or administrators enormous resources. By that development, we have found that there are job creations at the local level. We are able to engender strengthening security, where state governors now are able to recruit, they are able, vigilantes, they are able to buy vehicles and equipment that is necessary for surveillance and intelligence gathering, and then law enforcement. We also provided dispensaries, for example, free cesarean section for people having, for mothers who are having trouble giving birth. We also have a RISE policy that has, you know, made available to Nigerians across all levels, RISE. There are subsidies also on certain prescription drugs for the people at the local level, and people are able to access that. We've been able to register, I think, close to 10 million Nigerians in the national health scheme.
Wow. He mentions a range of accomplishments.
That's
from,
right.
You know, boosting healthcare to empowering local governments.
He had to be reading some of them. Yeah. I saw him. He kept looking at the figures to be sure he gets them right.
Yeah, but Mimi, let's fact check a key claim. 10 million Nigerians in the national healthcare system.
Right. And do you know what they said about these figures that were advanced, George?
Yeah, it turns out, Mimi, that the real number is actually over 20 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's straight from Dr. Kalechi Ohiri.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Director General of the National Health Insurance Authority.
That's right. He made the revelation, he gave the updated figures. That was early July. It was during a session with lawmakers at the National Assembly in Abuja.
Well, that is what they've termed as an achievement. And of course, facts matter, but so do people's voices. And because this is under the baobab, we value what Nigerians are saying. Our correspondent Ben Shemang hit the streets of Lagos and Abuja to find out how ordinary Nigerians rate Tinubu's performance.
It's not everybody that can provide garri in our country today. Our children need good education. They need to go to school. As it is now in this country, it's not all parents that can afford to shove the school fees.
We really need to hustle for ourselves to get our daily incomes, all those kinds of things. So we need employment, all those kinds of things, job opportunities.
To us, the civil servants, he deceived us that he was going to pay 70,000 minimum wage. And they eventually gave us 40,000 plus the 30,000 we were collecting before. That's 70,000. Is that 70,000 minimum wage? No other allowances except the 40,000 they increased in our salary. We don't want him to come back, especially the civil servants. Nobody wants him to come back except they are going to rig the election.
Currently now, Nigerians are complaining cost of rent, cost of basic amenities, cost of food and food items. So you should really work on the economy to bring down cost of these prices. And then secondly, unemployment, because there are a lot of unemployed Nigerian youth.
So civil servants are saying wages haven't improved.
They are not happy at all. You can see that woman. Civil servants are people that are employed and paid by the government.
And of course, we have other people saying unemployment is still high.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, where it matters the most, Mimi, the cost of food.
The cost of food in Nigeria is something else. We found out that a cup of garri, mm-hmm, it's called, in Nigeria, it's called what again? Mudu.
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 Mudu. Yeah.
I would have brought the cup here so that we can see. The cup of garri now, it ranges from about 1,500, sometimes 2,000 naira, 2,500 naira. And that is something that sold way less before and even below 800 naira. But that's not the only problem. We also have fuel prices that have increased.
Yeah.
In the country.
Yeah, but Mimi, when President Tinubu, you know, came to office, that was in 2023, fuel was under 250 naira
yes,
per litre.
Yes.
Now, the story is different.
It's very, very different. We saw that in Nigeria, the current of price per litre of fuel is 800 naira in Lagos,
mm-hmm,
and 900 naira in Abuja. And it's never gone below 500. We've seen a lot of protests happening in Nigeria because of these high prices. And the World Bank is also saying that over 31% of Nigerians live on less than $2 a day.
Yeah, you know, the government would argue that, of course, there were some number of, you know, interventions. And we know one of the infamous intervention was the removal of fuel subsidies. And when the president took office, he said that this was, you know, a short-term sacrifice for long-term gain. But I'm sure people are asking, where is the gain?
Where is the gain? That's the question. So I pressed Dr. Bwala to explain which achievements are Nigerians supposed to feel.
I talked about the local government autonomy that brought about increased revenue to the local government. I talked to you about caesarean section, for example, free medical caesarean section. That is the affecting the common man. It wasn't meant for the ghost. I talk about recruitment of vigilantes at the local level. That insecurity we're dealing with is also a positive impact on the common man. I told you about the increase of salaries, the minimum wage. It is affecting the common man, not ghost or spirit. I told you that the economy, the decision we took, it is understandable that because we remove subsidy and we unify the exchange rate, that there was an immediate increase because that is the reaction that you get. But the monies, we're investing it on in agriculture, we're investing it in healthcare, we're investing it in infrastructure. And all of these things that I talked about, who are they affecting? Not necessarily the president.
Yes, I understand completely, Dr. Bwala. I understand that. But we have also been speaking to Nigerians on the streets, except you are telling me that they are not supposed to say what they are saying. They are not supposed to say that they are not happy. They are not supposed to say that they are not having access to job opportunities. Because I vividly remember that the APC actually asked Nigerians to endure the short-term pain for long-term gain.
Correct.
Nigerians on the streets are not happy because we spoke to some of them and questioned them about the state of economic affairs of the country. Are you saying that they are not in touch with the reality in the country?
So I'll put it this way. Can you tell me a nation in this world where there are citizens who are not complaining about either job creation, equal opportunity, or insecurity? But what I thought that as journalists, you people will do after hearing government and hearing the masses is to look at the realities and numbers. Take, for example, the fact that there is the reduction of inflation is by the Bureau of Data, statistics, right? So confirmed, and that one is carried out based on physical, touchable, feelable and relatable economic activities.
Yes, can you tell us the percentage of the reduction? Because I know
by a point. So in the month of April, it reduced by a point. By a point. And in fact, let me tell you this, it will shock you. The month in which we had the inflation reduced by a point, in England, it increased by a point.
We are talking about Nigeria here.
Yes, so I'm giving you comparative analysis.
And Nigerians are the ones following because they want to really understand how this discussion will benefit them.
Yes, my response to you, and let me say it slowly, that the problem that Nigerians are complaining is not unique. And I told you there is no nation of the world where you will not find citizens complain about either lack of job opportunities or inflation. There is no country. And that's why I mentioned England. England, too, there is inflation. But with respect to Nigerians, I don't know, maybe I need to speak in another language. But every policy I reeled out in my conversation with you, I told you how it directly affects the masses. Now, does it mean everybody is possibly affected? Certainly, it cannot be everybody. Nigeria is the largest population, black population in the world. And with limited resources, we are carrying out these policies. So if you understand economic and numbers, you will know that when you have limited resources, you have to make the best choice out of the limited resources, which means that everything is not going to be everywhere. But it is important that the people know that you are doing something and that with time it is going to increase. With more investment in that regard, with private sector coming into play, and the Nigerian people are participating in it.
When it comes to economy,
it's either we are looking at whether there is improvement or you are looking to the end of the problem.
Yes, that's why we are having this conversation, because of course we understand the numbers, the state of affairs in the country, but also like you said, clearly, we talk to Nigerians and we talk to the decision makers in the country to some sort of compare what is happening on the ground, because our objective is to bring both parties together and look for solutions. So I wanted to just find out from you.
Can you permit me to ask a question? Just
yes,
to have
sure.
a clarity as regards the people, the Nigerians you talk to. Have you also come across Nigerians who will confirm to you that some of these policies of government is impacting on the common man?
It was almost impossible for us to talk to someone who was positive about the policies that are in place.
Incredible.
We spoke to Nigerians in Lagos and also in Abuja. It was difficult to get Nigerians to talk positively. And we get the people randomly. We talk to them randomly. They are not selected. So they were not really positive about things that
and the
are
people
going
you
on
talk
in the
to,
country.
It is interesting for me because we also have report by international media as well as our local media who have come across others who are also positively impacted. If you are talking in the proportion, certainly the proportion can be the same.
He seems surprised that we couldn't find a single person who praised Tinubu's performance.
And he also came across as he's accusing the international media, even local media, of misrepresenting the facts. But under the Baobab, we give the floor to everybody to express their views. And we are quite fair because we want to listen to the people. We want to also listen to the government officials. So we aim for a diverse, open conversation where people can speak their minds.
And that's the only way, Mimi. And that's why Dr. Bwala had this platform. But of course, not the platform to tell us about the achievements. Also, to be challenged, we want to ask the hard questions.
But George, comparing Nigeria and London, yes. He kept comparing Nigeria, London, Europe, and...
I saw what he was trying to do. He was trying to give a comparative analysis. My view and my assessment of how he was the conversation you were having. Mm-hmm. But of course,
I cannot be telling you I'm hungry, and you're telling me my colleagues in. I don't know where in the US I've not eaten.
And that's what
instead
matters.
Of solving my problem.
That is what matter. And that is why we are listening also from Nigerians to tell us their views and what they think about the current leadership. But hey, under the Baobab, we have a way of cooling off things.
Cooling off. And
it's not about just the questions.
This is the best part for me, the cooling off part.
Yeah.
The rapid fire.
Definitely.
Right. So if President Bola Tinubu's legacy is a hashtag, what is it going to be?
Hashtag reform Nigeria.
So what's more urgent now in Nigeria? Is it price of rice or price of fuel at the moment?
Price of fuel.
What's gotten more expensive in your hometown and that really bothers you at the moment?
Ignorance.
What's one thing that Nigerians often get wrong about people in the government?
Perception.
Okay. So one thing that young Nigerians are right about?
Future of Nigeria.
That's a good one. So have you ever doubted a government decision, even silently from deep within you?
Yeah, it's only natural. Sometimes you make a decision as the head of the mm-hmm. government, and then mm-hmm. at point people have divergent views. Then at the end of the day, you are now proven right or wrong based on, you know, the opinion you hold. Yeah.
What's a moment in the last 2 years that made you feel genuinely proud to be part of the current government in Nigeria?
It is the courage to embark on the reform that will set the country on a path to recovery.
So 2027, is it a done deal or is it still a battle?
If it's a done deal, then we are arrogant with the people because we are answerable to the people. But if you say whether we are confident, I would say yes, because the reforms we are carrying out, the intervention we are doing, the Nigerian people are happy about. And by 2027, the effect of those policies would have been obvious to all.
Would you bet for your job that Nigerians will be better off by 2027?
1,000%.
Well,
so what was the highlight for you?
The confidence in him. But of course, maybe Nigerians face more than, you know, the economic hardship. We have issues of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's one of the pressing issues within that society.
And insecurity is like an elephant in the room. And when there's insecurity, the economy also suffers.
Let's get to some facts, Mimi. Between May 2023 and April 2024,
mm-hmm.
over 600,000 people were killed due to insecurity.
In Nigeria,
and
yes.
this is according that's to the lot. National Bureau of Statistics in Nigeria.
And that's not all. More than 2 million Nigerians were also kidnapped. So what is the government really doing to fix all of this? The situation of insecurity in Nigeria is so dire that people have to be kidnapped, people have to be killed because of rising insecurity. This is what Dr. Bwala told us.
When the president took the oath of office on May 29, 2023, there were many prison breaks in Nigeria before then. The insecurity came right to the city, to the capital city of the country, where there were killings of the military people in the city of Abuja. There were kidnappings during the day in Abuja. Our local government around the northeast and northwest, people couldn't go to certain places because they displaced people. We don't have that situation at the moment. I know that in the last 2 to 3 months, we have seen the relapse in northeast. And the answer is simple. It's because those Boko Haram, repentant Boko Haram that we, you know, were rehabilitated and trained and armed to be used against the Boko Haram, some of them escaped to the forest with our weapons. So that's why they've been coming at night and operating. And there are measures to deal with that situation. So once in a while, these skirmishes, you would always see it, whether in America or England, there's no part of the world where there are no skirmishes of insecurity. But if you look at it comprehensively, we've been able to deal with that. And we know insecurity is a global concept. It will not end one day, but it is something that we are making effort to reduce it maximally. You talked about inflation. If you look at the data that came out in April, there is a reduction of inflation. We are looking at food security. If you see the program of government with respect to agriculture, thereby beefing and boosting the food security so we'll be able to suppress the inflation, there is an effort there. Now, let me tell you why, when you talk about unemployment and rising cost of food items, it is expected. What we did was to take a policy decision. That policy decision withdrew the oil subsidy, the subsidy on oil, and at the same time, the multiple exchange. These two policies, because we removed it, there was an immediate impact on the people. So you see the rising cost of food items and the rest. But what we're doing is that the money that would have been used in paying for those subsidies are the ones we're investing in critical area of the economy. And if you ask anybody who lives in Nigeria, they will tell you, on May 29, when the president took the oath of office, 27 states in Nigeria, the governors could not pay salaries because there was no revenue. Right now, we have increased revenue that some state got over 300%. And now no state in Nigeria is not paying salaries. But they have in fact gone ahead to even pay on project. Some of them settled their debt, and even the minimum wage that was increased, they are able to meet up with it.
So minimum wage increased, but we just heard from a civil servant saying that I don't have any money. No, I can't feel the impact. Understand this, George.
Hey. Tell you what, Mimi, let's leave the minimum wage debate for another day. And of course, lest we forget, back to our core topic, does President Tinubu deserve another term after just 2 years in office? That is the question we've been trying to press.
And also, we've been asking also, because there's a lot of debate around his health condition, whether he's capable of running in 2027.
This was, you know, a campaign issue prior to the 2023, you know, swearing in of President Tinubu.
And it continues to be an issue in Nigeria now because President Tinubu has made multiple trips abroad for medical treatment to France, and also he's traveled abroad a couple of times for medical treatment already.
So what did he tell us?
Take a look.
In fact, the president of Nigeria physically is fitter than most presidents in the advanced countries.
George, did you expect that response? Hey, that's
short, firm, and very confident.
I'm very confident. So can he ride a bicycle, for instance, or do push-ups like we saw Museveni during the COVID times?
You should have asked him that question also. But of course, one major issue that you know, has been doing rounds on social media ahead of the 2027 election,
yes,
is the question of gender parity, gender representation
Nigeria, right,
in all spheres, be it politically, economically, and everywhere. So, where does Nigeria stand?
So for context, only 4 women out of 109 senators in Nigeria and 16 out of the 360 representatives currently serve in the 10th Assembly, also in Nigeria. So that's just 4.2% representation when it comes to women. And here is what Dr. Bwala told us. He is very categorical that the government in place is doing a lot to promote gender parity and also make sure that women are in a position of power.
It's a work in progress in Nigeria, meeting up with the quota. Some people say 30%, people say 15% or 40%. The president has had, and he's having in this government, good number of women across all levels, even women leading in major institutions of government.
When we have the 50-50 representation when it comes to leadership?
Yeah, 50-50 representation is what will happen over time, because politics is a participation. If it is a government policy like appointment, you can always do that, but it doesn't, the 50-50% inclusion of women doesn't come from the executive, because women need to be in the legislature. And the president can't legislate a woman. So it is participation of women and political parties creating those environments for the women. Then in the judiciary, which is a branch of government that deals with, you know, in knowledge and through the job. You cannot, because you like women, say, I'm going to appoint 5,000 female judges. But we're making the progress. And I think that President Bola Tinubu has taken it from a level and has taken it higher.
Well, what I agree with Dr. Bwala is that political participation for women requires efforts across all sectors, maybe. What is your opinion about achieving a fair gender representation politically?
Politically, I believe that there should that be that way also on the part of women to be part of the conversation, to be involved in politics, because we've talked a lot about gender parity. We want equality. We want women to be in politics. We want them to, we want 50-50 chances for both men and women. Yeah.
Hey, tell us what you think about fair gender representation in your country or from where you're watching from.
Not just telling us, George, have you as a woman, if you're watching this program, have you tried to do something and did anyone stop you from doing that? Let us know in the comment section. We'll also be interested to know. You wanted to say something,
Jim? Tinubu has been given an endorsement to run for a second term, but without, you know, a formidable alternative, then it means that he may as well become the president for a second term in 2027.
And that's why we see the opposition in Nigeria coming together. There was an announcement recently that key opposition figures like Peter Obi, Atiku Abubakar, many key opposition figures were not happy after the 2023 presidential election, are coming together to form a coalition. Mm-hmm. But we are not sure yet who is going to lead the coalition, because there will be elections within the coalition to see who the flag bearer is. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be a discussion for another day.
Yeah, so did you ask him anything about the opposition?
Whether the government is feeling threatened by the opposition.
Yeah.
There is no political party that succeeds without organizing. The reason President Bola Tinubu is today benefiting from the fruit of a coalition. In 2015, it was a coalition of legacy parties that brought this government, APC, into power. And if all you need to do is to look at how we conducted our coalition processes, it is not the same with what is going on at the moment with the opposition. So the message would be for them to be more organized and serious, and for them to stop aiding and abetting insecurity in Nigeria.
Can you expand shade? Because I think it's the responsibility of the government to make sure there's no insecurity, right? So when you say they are aiding and abetting, what do you mean exactly?
So, for example, last year, there was the Nigerian people, out of the goodness of their heart, felt they were going to protest certain situations in Nigeria, which was perfectly okay, we understood. But in the course of this protest, some opposition members started funding dissident elements in Nigeria to fly the flag of Russia in our territory, calling for the military to take over Nigeria. This is one graphical example. And then you can expatiate and escalate that to the areas where they provide information to either the bandit terrorists or where they politicize national security situation.
But the opposition made it clear that they were not responsible, that it was they had no hand in it. The propaganda, the pro-Russia propaganda that we saw on the media, they said they were not responsible.
I hope you know that the intelligence platform in Nigeria made some arrests of individuals. So we are not talking an empty talk. We are talking based on intelligence gathered.
Interesting discussion there and points from the member of the government. But usually they always feel like, oh, we are not moved by what the opposition is doing. But they are keenly observing to see how they can also up their game to ensure that the opposition doesn't take over. What do you think, George?
Yeah, definitely. We know that a formidable opposition is very critical for, you know, the democracy
which
itself.
Which is what Cameroon lacks now. Imagine.
But if you're so pressed to speak about Cameroon,
no,
right?
No.
But of course, world over, we know that a formidable opposition is a recipe for a democratized society.
And that is our show for today, Under the Baobab. We tackled big questions such as, has President Bola Tinubu earned another term?
And the pertinent question, should Nigerians be angry or just accept that other countries are facing similar challenges?
And should President Bola Tinubu step aside or continue to push forward? Let us also know what your thoughts are in the comment section. And Under the Baobab, we dive deep into African politics. If you want to be part of it, we will tell you in just a few seconds. But, George, a lot of people have been talking about our previous and first episode of Under the Baobab.
Yes, definitely. And tell you what, this is like a community.
Mm-hmm.
We bring issues that are complex,
yes,
that are pertinent to you,
yes,
and we invite you to be part of it.
And we make them personal.
We make them personal.
That we saw the remarks, we saw the comments after our first episode, and we want to thank you for the outpouring of love and the support that we saw across different social media platforms. We will continue the conversation under the baobab. And where do people find Under the Baobab?
Of course, Under the Baobab is streamed on all our digital platforms, mm-hmm. and that includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, don't forget our YouTube channel,
DW Africa.
My name is George Okachi.
And I am Mimi Mefonewu. This is Under the Baobab.